a capital affair.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Reports this morning say Bank of America needs money to make it through the fallout. A lot of it. Stress test results come out tomorrow, like they're a big secret, right? Welcome to the Morning Open, and we ask, where's Wall Street? Wall Street's up at this hour. The Dow up about 53 points, 0.6% to 84.63. NASDAQ and S&P up as well. The S&P almost by a full percent. Today, Asian markets mostly up. Hong Kong shares added 2.5%. And right now, European markets are up 1 to 2%. All right, Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith, Moore & Company, joins us on the line from St. Louis live. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
So let's talk about this Bank of America thing, one of the biggest of the big. And this morning's Wall Street Journal and New York Times reports the bank needs $34 billion to survive this economic climate. What's at the heart of that big number?
Well, on top of that, it's $45 billion has already been taken from the government in terms of TARP money.
That's the bailout, yeah.
The bailout, right. So in back of that, the big problem you have is they spent a fortune buying Golden West, Countryside, Merrill Lynch, none of which has worked out. Big examination of Bank of China, Construction Bank. They've got lots of assets there that simply have not been working out. And on top of that, lots of bad loans. So they need this huge infusion of cash coming from somewhere. Probably the biggest thing is, do they keep with the TARP money, or what they could do is convert the common into common, and that would save them the big dividend. But they need fresh money, and it has to come from somewhere else, and they don't want the government to become their biggest voting shareholder. So what are they going to do? They're going to sell assets in all likelihood. Sell that $8 billion stake in China, which would give them a fresh infusion. Maybe offer common stock to the public, but that would be a really tough sell because, you know, you've got a company here that's right at the edge here. Probably the biggest thing is the venture capital boys are queuing up now to try and get an inside into the banks here. These are the usual suspects, Soros, Paulson, Dell. They all want to get into the banking business.
A lot of options, Julie Niemann, and I see Bank of America shares up about 9% at this hour. We thank you.
You bet.
All right. You know, some of the nation's banks want to show their strength by paying back the federal money they got from the Troubled Asset Relief Program. As early as today, they could find out the rules for that repayment. From Washington, Tamara Keith reports.
Banks are not big fans of the restrictions on executive compensation and other government pressures that come with the TARP. Some didn't even want the money in the first place. Scott Talbot is with the Financial Services Roundtable, an industry group.
The test for returning TARP money should be the ability of the bank to demonstrate that it doesn't need it anymore.
That's what the government wants, and more. Banks would reportedly have to forego the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's debt guarantee program. That allows banks to borrow private money at a fairly low cost.
We want to keep lending going, and the liquidity program of the FDIC helps encourage that by asking the bank to step outside of that program. That would decrease lending, which is a bad thing for the economy right now.
Banks have borrowed more than $300 billion since last fall with the assistance of the program. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
By the way, Sheila Bair, the head of the FDIC, told a Senate hearing this morning that the too-big-to-fail mentality must end. She proposes a so-called systemic risk council made up of the U.S. Treasury, the Federal Reserve, Securities and Exchange Commission, and the FDIC. They would monitor large institutions and their potential risks to the system. News this morning that the private sector job losses dropped in April to 491,000 versus more than 700,000 in March. That's an April number, 491,000, according to employment company ADP.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
General Motors faces a government deadline at the end of this month to complete its restructuring or face bankruptcy. Part of the hurdle is getting bondholders to swap billions in debt for a small equity stake. That's part of the plan laid out by President Obama and his auto task force. Now, GM CEO Fritz Henderson insists the government isn't in the car business. But commentator Will Wilkinson says, yeah, it's obvious who's running the show.
I don't want to run the auto companies and I don't want to run banks, President Obama said last week during a primetime press conference on the fate of Detroit. He may not want to, but the Obama administration is effectively running auto companies and banks. And the president does get a bit cranky when he tells the private sector to jump, and it doesn't jump. In a rare flash of anger, Obama lashed out at several Chrysler investors who refused to sign on to the administration's restructuring plan for the automaker. The plan would have required senior investors, who are usually first in line in bankruptcy proceedings, to take big losses, while more junior investors, including the UAW, were offered rather more generous terms. The failure of the plan has left Chrysler no other option than to file for bankruptcy. But why is the president involved at all in deciding who gets what in the breakup of an auto company? Much of the American economy is in disarray, but the bankruptcy system isn't. Indeed, the U.S. bankruptcy system works really well. So why meddle when an effective, long-standing legal system can take care of it? This is the price of bailout mania. When the government gets its finger in every pie, who gets what piece becomes a political decision. We may want to trust our leaders to be dispassionate stewards of the public interest, but politicians, and our overempowered executive is a politician, will use whatever discretion is at hand to reward their constituencies. Justice wears a blindfold for a reason. Injecting political partisans directly into economic decisions when well-functioning, time-tested rules are in place not only chills the confidence of investors, but moves us one step further from the already battered rule of law and one step closer to the dangerous rule of men.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow with the Cato Institute. You can share your thoughts with us at our scratch pad with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside our website, marketplace.org. Let's check Wall Street again right now. The Dow rocketing up toward 1% up at this hour, 80 points. NASDAQ up 0.5%, S&P up about 1.25%. The latest at our website, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us in Los Angeles. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.